Thank you, Mr. Baldoff. Happy Sabbath. And welcome to everybody online. We see there are folks here in Illinois, in Florida, and actually on the East Coast as well. So you're most welcome. I have a habit of giving treats to our dog, Riley. And it's pretty much every time he goes out and does what he's supposed to. And he's gotten used to it. And sometimes I give him a treat, I give him a gift. And he doesn't want that one. He wants something else. And he'll just stand there and go. But we would never do that with God. If he were to give us a gift, we'd take it and we'd use it and we'd do what we're supposed to with it. And we'd always be grateful for it. But let's talk today about that. The idea that God gives us gifts that we couldn't possibly develop ourselves. And what do we do about that relationship that he's started, that he gives us, that he works with us and wants us to work with him? How do we do that, and how do we make it better? Well, there's a, if you will, a charter that he's given us, a method, a set of tools that he's given us in how to increase, improve, grow our relationship with him. And when we look at it, at first it looks like, well, this is really just about prayer. As a matter of fact, when you look at, I'll tell you what it is, when we look at it, in commentaries, they will tell you this is all about prayer, and it's way bigger than that, way, way bigger. So today we're going to take a look at how God enables us, actually empowers us, gives us of his DNA to work with him. It's a miraculous, beyond human ability enabling that he gives us. He is our superior, and he, as the definition of grace is, he is our superior, and he bends down to the inferior, to aid the inferior. That's what he's doing when he's giving us these gifts to work with him and with what he's working with. He allows this unique, if you will, charter of our active relationship. This process is one of God's gifts to his people today. This is not something the world has. This is not a process the world understands. That's basically why we find in commentaries it's just not there. They don't know what it is. Now, before we turn to it, there are a couple of things we need to get straight first. But without telling you where it is, you've heard this before. Ask, seek, knock. Well, if you ask for something, why do you need to seek for it? You already asked. And if you've already sought for something, why knock? Are you bothering him? What are you doing? Why are we doing this, asking and seeking and knocking? It's not the same thing. Each of those is a step in process of building relationship with him, and it never stops. So before we get to that, though, God, number one point, God enables our relationship miraculously. That's our number one point. He enables our relationship with him miraculously. Now, no one in God's church would admit differently, would we? Other than making mistakes in our language, like, I was searching for the truth until I found it. That's not even close to right. God draws us to him. It's not the other way around. It's like, why are we here on the Sabbath? Why are we together? It's because we're assembled around him. He brought us here. He draws us here. I mean, there may be a way where we would think, but I figured it out. I came. No, God draws us. We need to see a couple of things, though, first, before we go to this ask, seek, knock thing. Let's go to John 5. John 5. Now, this is the kind of thing, what we're going to look at today and in the second split sermon as well, that we could be uncomfortable with, but that's actually good because, you know, our comfort zone, we manufacture that. We actually feel comfortable the way we are. And God says, once in a while, it's a little shake here. Want to wake you up and get you uncomfortable so you recognize we're going somewhere. We're moving from where you are to somewhere. He even uses interesting language when he says, come to where I am. Get up from where you are and come to where I am. But he wants us to move through life, not just be comfortable. So anyway, we'll get to that. John 5, let's settle this first, that this is a miraculous concept. John 5, and let's go down to verse 30. And you have to ask yourself, why would Jesus Christ say this? John 5, verse 30. I can, of myself, do nothing. Now, why would God on earth say, of myself, I can do nothing? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Okay, in actual reality, no human being can do anything of themselves. God created us and is in the process of creating us. Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Therefore, we're being sustained by God, whether we reject him or not. But there's more, because what he's saying is, as he's talking to the Pharisees here, I can't of myself do nothing eternal or good. That's really what this means. Well, if he couldn't, neither can we, right? If he couldn't do it of himself, neither can we, right? Okay. Let's go over to Romans 8, kind of set this up so that our self, the thing, the most important human being to us, self, is readied for what we're going to see. Romans 8, verse 19. Romans 8, 19. Now, what Paul is speaking to the church at Rome about is not actually understood by anybody unless God delivers it to them. So watch what he's saying. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation, this is something that is a priority. Earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is a time when the children of God will aid in the liberty of creation, delivering it from corruption. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. It's not stopped yet. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption or the birth, the redemption of our body. Now there's something in that sentence that's reasonably important as we go forward from here. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, who are the first fruits of the Spirit. That separates a group of people from humanity, from history, actually. So this is addressed to the church. This is addressed to those who have God's Spirit, and it is a miraculous intervention by God into a human life to have that person have God's Spirit. And that's the group he's talking to. Now, verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one still hope for when he sees? So these, we're speaking of faith here, the concept of trusting what we know is there without seeing it. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So there is an ongoing dedication, permanent, ongoing dedication and relationship with God that's being spoken of about the people of God that the world couldn't possibly understand. It's a gift. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps with our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We're actually not capable of understanding the might and the power and the breadth and the depth and the height of what God's doing for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, because God interacts with, you know, the Father interacts with Jesus Christ to understand why we would ask for something. We'll cover that. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts, we'll see who that is. Oh, I know who it is. Well, okay. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the hearts, your and my heart, knows what the mind, the approach, the way of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we're being dealt with in a relationship that's way beyond our understanding. Verse 28, or 26, excuse me. And we know, no, it is 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, now that we've covered the fact that a human being related to God, actually firstborn, first begotten, if you will, from out of all humanity, not born yet, but begotten by God and given the Holy Spirit by God, along with Jesus Christ, is working in a relationship. How does that work? Well, the easy answer is we relate to God by praying to him. We study his word. We meditate on what we're learning. We fast. We live. He tests us. He guides us through his testing. Okay, so the first point here, that was it. That was the whole first point. God enables our relationship miraculously. And oh, by the way, we might choose to fully work at this. So right now, no real problem with ourself yet. No argument here. Second point. Our eternal relationship with God has instructions. Well, that's the law. Yeah, okay. Our eternal relationship with God has instructions. What are the instructions? Matthew 7. Now let's go look. Matthew 7. This relationship is listed in Matthew 7. The method of doing it, the method of growing it, the method of keeping it going, the method of ultimately ending up in the family of God, the kingdom of God. Through this process, and you will see that what's being said here, scripturally, God reveals to us and only us. So that must mean we better pay attention to this. If it's only revealed to us, it's a miraculous revelation, and it's a spiritual tool, a set of tools. Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. We've all read it. What does it mean? Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts for your children, to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Sounds like that's a little out of place, although, no, it's not. Some commentaries say that section we just read from God has nothing to do with the context of the chapter. Of course it does. What's the context of the chapter? Is it about prayer? Is it about, yeah, it's about prayer. No, it's about the gifts of God. It is about the gifts of God, which are way bigger than the ability to pray and contact God. Much bigger. But let's start here, and now we start getting into meddling. Without turning there, and this should be a memory scripture for you, Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. special word in that sentence, seek. That's in this instruction set here, this charter, seek. So here, if we're going to ask, seek, and knock, it ought to be in the context, as God puts it, of not asking for ourselves, I would like $1 billion tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. so I can get ready to spend it early. And it will be given to you. The context of Scripture is, what does God want to give you? Ask for what God wants to give us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and knock on something, and that will be opened. Oh, well, this is bigger than prayer then. Okay, yeah. This is a set of encouragements to keep importuning God until He answers. And by the way, that's in Greek. We'll cover that in a second. Let's go back to Acts 15. We'll come back to this later. Acts 15. Because remember when we read in Romans about the creation waiting for the sons of God, the revealing, the liberty that the sons of God are going to bring. One of the things that it talked about is God searches our hearts. Okay, Acts 15, if I can find it here, verse 8. Acts 15, 8. It's important to know this. We'll cover it later too. Acts 15, 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. This is the context of how could Gentiles be in God's church? He gave them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us, the Jews, is what's being said here. But He knows their heart. So God judged what He wanted to do. But there's a kind of an interesting word in here that we may have missed. Gave. The Gentiles were asking to be in the church. God gave them the Holy Spirit. They asked what He wanted, and He gave it. Oh, there's a connection. You bet. It's building the relationship God wants by God's standards with God's superhuman spirit. And He will never stop doing that. Let's go back to Matthew 13, please. Matthew 13. When we ask for something from God, what is God's desire to give us? That's how to ask. What does He want to give us? Okay. Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew 13, 10. Remember now, disciples had been with Christ 3.5 years, and they're asking Him to explain something, to give something to them. Okay, Matthew 13, 10. Why do you speak in parables, they said. And the disciples came to Him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? They want to know. They wanted some information from God as to why was God doing it like this. Please give us the gift of understanding they don't have. And He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. They didn't know that. Well, now, wait a minute. You mean God will give you something after you ask for it that you don't know about? Well, what does that say? They didn't know why He was speaking in parables, and yet it was given to them to understand the parables. Well, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, yes, it does. It says so right there. So when you ask and you receive, ask and you shall receive, you're asking what God wants for you with Him, and you receive it, what's next? Seek, and you'll find it. Seek what? It. what was given to you. Just like here. Just like this. They, like the Gentiles, wanted to be members of the church. They asked to be members of the church, and they were given the Holy Spirit. And then it was their job to find out what to do about it. Wasn't it? They didn't understand this. Now watch this. Let's go back to Job 42. Job 42. Right before Psalms. Job 42, verse 1. Now here's Job, a man who is upright, righteous, honored by God, defended before Satan, knew of God, knew about God, honored God, praised God, but did not understand God, and was asking to understand God until God finally said, okay, let me explain it to you. Job 42:1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, in verse 1, verse 2, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I can't hold back what you know. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I, he's admitting this, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. He knew about God. He didn't understand what he knew. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will answer you, and you shall answer me. I will question you, you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So the process is happening here. What Job is doing is seeing what he was searching for, because he had asked to understand God. He wanted a relationship with God, and this is how God worked it out with Job. And finally told him the gift he had given him. What's the gift? God's superior. Job had nothing. He couldn't do anything to God or take anything from him. That's a gift to know that. So we are to ask for the gifts of God to join with his purpose, not just ask for gifts of God that we make up. That's what Matthew 7 is talking about. We're asking for God's gifts, for God's guidance. And then we have to seek out what God's chosen to gift to us, like we've seen here. Want to see another instance like that? Let's take a look. Mark 10. And once you see this in Scripture, you'll find it all the time, that there are steps to understanding and working with God. Some people stop in the midst of the steps. God, please forgive me. God, please show me your will. God, give me what you want for me to do. Then please show me what to do with it. Thank you for that. Now we're good. No, there's another thing, but let's get this straight first. Mark 10, there's knocking that comes after that, but not Mark 10, verse 46. Mark 10:46. This is a story, but it's an interesting thing about the way this is phrased. Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, which is a phrase used then, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. He's asking, isn't he? He's asking God, son of David, have mercy on me. He's asking for something that may be what God wants. We'll see. So Jesus stood and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Good news. Got news for you. Rise. He's calling you now. And so he was asking for a gift. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? You're asking for something. And the blind man said to him, This is different from asking for attention now, isn't it? He's asking specifically for a gift. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. You say, well, he was asking to receive that from the beginning. No, he was asking to meet Christ, to talk to him first. That's what all those other verses are about. So he was asking. Now he's seeking. He was asking. Now he's seeking. Keep going. Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, important phrase, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, he said to other people, go to the priest, follow me. He didn't say that here. Go your way. You can do whatever you want now. I'm here. And immediately he received his sight. And then what? And followed Jesus on the road. He asked God for what God wanted. Could this be that my sight would be given? Then when he was asked by God, what is the gift you want? He said, can I have my sight? And then when he was told to go the way he wants, the way he wants was God's way. What's that part? He knocked, and it was opened to him. We'll see what that's about. We're told to do even more. So the second point, after the first one, God enables our relationship miraculously. And the second point is, our eternal relationship with God has instructions. Third, knock, requesting barriers to be opened. Requesting that barriers to the use of the gift he has given us be opened up. Why? Didn't know there are barriers to the use of a gift. The barriers to the use of the gift are so that we will concentrate on the use of the gift God gives us to be used with him for his purposes. Good example is, you know, the people who were speaking in tongues. In 1 Corinthians, they're speaking in tongues and they're speaking all these languages, and it's just chaos. And Paul says, you can't do that. Things have to be done decently in an order. And then somebody else was interpreting, and then we're interpreting it wrong so nobody could understand it. Bottom line to it was, that wasn't what God wanted when he gave the gifts of languages to all these people. But they were using it for themselves to be valued by others. As opposed to doing what God would unbar, open up, to use with him. We're going to get into a couple things we may never have noticed before about this knocking thing. Turn to Luke 18, please. Luke 18. You say, well, how do I ask? Ask based on what God wants. Well, I have to know what he wants. Well, ask him what he wants. And then he'll give you things, but you may not know where they are or what they are. Matter of fact, you may have gifts you don't know about. Then seek what they are with him, for his will. With his will, he'll show you. You'll find it. And then knock. The knocking thing. Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18, 9. He also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as though they were righteous, and despised others. Now, before we go, you know where we are. Before we go there, though, let's figure out something simple. It's easy to look down on the Pharisees, the Sadducees. It's easy to look down on those who attacked Jesus Christ and say those people were not of God. Consider this for a minute. They had the gift of God's law. They had the gift of God's information about his kingdom. They had the gift of knowing who the Messiah would be. You could find out who he was by looking at prophecy. Did the rest of the nations of the world have those gifts? No. Those were gifts that were given to them, and they had found those gifts. They knew who they were. They were the chosen people. They were responsible with a scepter promise for keeping the law, passing it on to the next generation. They were raising their children and their families and their nation under God. They were doing it wrong, but they were doing their interpretation of how to interact with the gift that they had found. Now watch how wrong this is. How do you get it wrong? Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, meaning he really wasn't talking to God about what he wanted. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And then he goes into an explanation of how righteous he is. Here's my proof. You gave me the gift of being righteous. I am righteous. Here's my proof. What's wrong with this? He hadn't knocked to have the barriers to the gifts shown to be opened up, and he could do what God wanted. In other words, the man who said, I'm a sinner, God, forgive me, was justified. Well, this is a little odd, but understand, please, as we are relating to God, we actually can have gifts, actually find the gifts of God, the knowledge of the kingdom, the knowledge of the family of God, the knowledge of the truth of the Bible, the word of God. We can understand, we can find these things, the ability to pray, the ability to even have a humility. But what are they for? Why do we have that? Oh, there's more to it. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Let's go back to Matthew 7 and verse 7. Because we all know we're knocking on a spiritual door, you know, like the the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins had to knock. Please let us in. We don't have enough oil. Please let us in. Or we've gotten enough oil now, but let us in. It's too late. The doors are locked. So we know that what this is talking about is knocking on a door. Actually, no. The word door isn't there. And it's important that it isn't. What are we knocking on? Well, let's go through this. Matthew 7, verse 7, again. Ask it and she'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, it will be given. Seeks, finds. Him who knocks will be opened. Or what man is there? And we go on down, right? Knock on what? Go to verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Well, this is out of place. What's that got to do with knocking and asking and seeking? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So it's about getting into a place through a gate, and you're knocking on it. What would this place be? What would this state of being be that you're knocking to get into? Revelation 22. Revelation 22. The gate is what you're knocking on. There's a gate there. And you have asked for God's will. He's given you the gift to work his will. And now you're knocking on the gate to enter somewhere. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, verse 14, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Obviously, what this is about is being able to be entering a relationship with God that's fruitful, that's godly, that's bearing the fruit God wants your purpose fulfilled to be. God is actually opening as we persistently knock and continue this on throughout our life. So our first thought is that God enables our relationship miraculously. We can't do this. We can't scrunch up our fists and say, I want a relationship with God. We can't do that. He has to enable it. We ask him for it. Then our eternal relationship with God has instructions, and those instructions include seeking out the gift he's given us, which is for his will, and then knocking. And we request barriers. The third point is we request the barriers to us. Like the Pharisee had a barrier, didn't he? The Pharisee said, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I know I'm not like other men. You've given me these wonderful gifts. Well, that's a barrier to being in God's world, in God's kingdom, in God's family. It's a barrier. So we ask for God to remove that. So in the context of God's priorities, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, let's turn for a final thought to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. In the context of God's priorities, you mean I can't ask for anything I want? Go ahead. And God isn't going to stop you. Ask for anything you want, but it won't be answered correctly because, I mean your way correctly or mine, because it isn't God's will. What do you think Christ was talking about when he said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done? In his name means you're like him. Wanting to be in the kingdom, being in the kingdom with him already, working with him and his kingdom family. Ephesians 3, there is a enabling of a unique relationship with God. He actually enables your ability, our ability, to work together. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is about entering into the family of the kingdom family, allowing God to allow us, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is where the treasure is. This is where the gifts are. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, the sacrificial, never-ending giving of self, that may be able to comprehend. In other words, you can't otherwise comprehend it, that you may be comprehending with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes our knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Ask and it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and all the kingdom will be open to you.